Welcome back to the Challenge Total Madness Wrap-Up Podcast for episode 6. I am Brian Cohn. Here in the, as always, is my co-host, Allie Asher. Allie, how are you?
Brian, after, like every episode this season, I am jazzed to be here. But not today because of the episode we had, like I usually am. This was not the greatest episode of the season. However, last week we talked about how, like, you know, we're too much on the same page lately. Like, is this why couples swing, I said. And it's even more necessary because, like, I just gave you a compliment before we started recording. Things are out of whack. So we had to bring in a special guest this week. We had to put our day in Rourke and bring in, I know she loves when I say that, Rourke Luskin. Rourke, how's it going?
Hello. I'm so excited to do this with you both for the first time. You know, instead of swinging, you brought in a third, which is like a classic way to spice it up. So I think this is going to be great.
Yeah. Usually this is a weird spot because I feel like you're usually the person that comes in at the reunion when one of us is like, I can't do this anymore. I'm tapping out for the season. And that's when you usually get the call. But here we are. Episode 6. You're ready to rock.
Yeah. This is the early game.
But is that why you miss shows, Brian? You just give up and you make up an excuse? Because you never really tell me. You're just like, you just text me, I can't make it this week. And I say, okay. Is this, no. The truth comes out.
No, I you definitely, just give up. I always have a very legitimate reason why I can't do episode number 30 of a season.
Oh, wow. I feel like I've had the wind knocked out of me.
No, but it's great. You know, like you said, we kind of need someone else in to discuss this. What an episode, but it's nice to have someone else to kind of discuss the season so far and this one in particular. So yeah, so it's great to have you, Rourke.
I'm excited to do this with both of you. It's gonna be great.
I'm gonna try not to talk over you the whole time like I just did. I'm so mortified. But Rourke,
stop.
Tell us,
it's totally fine,
how you felt about the season up into, but not including this episode.
Yeah, I mean, you sort of called it last week when you were saying how you hope that it doesn't throw off, the to be continued doesn't throw off the rhythm. And boy, oh boy, did it. And what's actually crazy is that's not what threw it off, right? It's all that time we had to spend on Zach and Jenna and Bear and Kayla. That's, I think, what they wanted to tell that story so much that it ate into the rest of it. But yeah, that was a mess yesterday. Other than that, I don't know. I like the beats have been good. I'm glad that they're getting out of the bunker. But this cast is either too, it can't be too big, right? This is the standard size. Something's happening where just like you don't know who's there still.
Yeah, I mean, I think also what we've seen is, at least in the last recent years, is usually there's like a team where there's pairs where you can kind of at least group people together, where here everyone is on their own. So with them starting with, I think, 28, and now like we're what, 6 episodes in, we're still at 23 people. Like, that's still a lot. That's more than most reality shows have even to begin the season by a lot. And now we're, you know, a third of the way through, probably something like that. So yeah, it's a lot different when there's not different ways to segment the cast off with each other.
I'm going to ask a very dumb question, and it's going to be the first of many because I'm sitting here in a unicorn onesie right now. Like, things are dark. But is this, I forget now because everything has run together in my entire life. Is this the first season with episodes that are an hour and a half?
I believe last season.
I thought it was last season. Last season they started that.
Okay, fair enough. Because I was going to pose that, like, I agree that this season's moving very slowly, and I wonder if it's because things that should take an hour are taking an hour and a half. But disregard. The one thing I will say, Rourke, you mentioned that a lot of time was spent on Zach and Jenna and Kayla and Bear. Am I so desperate for drama during quarantine? Or was this actually not that bad? Like, I didn't mind that they were spending time on that. My beef more came like that. I think the challenge was once again horrible, spoiler alert, but we can talk about that. But like, I actually wouldn't have wanted to cut the time. I wouldn't have wanted those things to happen in life, but since they happened, I didn't mind the time spent on that.
Oh, 100%. No, I don't, like, my beef with the challenge generally, is that it is becoming a sub-Olympic sport that I don't want to see. I want to see the real world people competing, you know? So yeah. I'm totally fine with the drama. I was just trying to account for where the time went, because it's not like the elimination lasted so long in up top.
Yeah, I think one of the points you made, definitely I'm with you about the worst part of this episode for me by far was the challenge. I thought that the fact that the challenge took 45 minutes and it was one of those classic ones that we have complained about for however long we've done this, where it is literally the same thing over and over and over and over again with no new twist, no new anything that happens. It was just the same thing for 45 minutes. That was a disaster. The Kayla and Bear drama, that's something that, you know, is very stereotypical challenges. They make you a little uncomfortable with some toxic masculinity, some like stuff you don't want to see blaming the girl for when the guy is like, that's very typical challenge stuff. The Jenna and Zach stuff, I only hated it because it amounted to nothing. I thought if Jenna ended up leaving the show, it would have at least amounted to something. But the fact that we had so much time spent discussing her relationship and nothing happened, that was the only part to me that really irked me.
We're all over the board, but I'm going to say,
we should
more exciting than the show. But let's give Jay his due, right? Because we skipped talking about Jay, the end of Jay, at the end of last episode. I did not expect to get another round out of Jay. I want to pose a question to the group, because I think we have to talk a lot about some substandard medical practices that take place at the beginning of this episode. The first, though, is on Jay, and granted, he's not able to really make logical or decisions in the state he's in, but when he gets offered the opportunity to sit down, take a beat, and get some water, I mean, I would take that opportunity now and just pause the podcast to get some water, like, much less if I was half dead in the challenge. Is the challenge getting too, Rourke, like you said, sub-Olympic sport, like, why would there be shame in Jay being like, yeah, I need to like squirt some water in my sandy mouth?
I think there's an ethos about this show that is you have to break your body to prove yourself. And I personally don't like it. And just like, you know, blind item, other survivor people are in conversations with the challenge, one of which does not want to do it because they think it just is too dangerous. Like they are not super familiar with the show, watch some episodes and we're like, I can't do that. And I do think that that is a tacit expectation of this show, that you are not supposed to quit, in that you are literally supposed to break yourself.
Literally, we are in a place where people who signed up to starve on an island for 39 days are being like, this seems unhealthy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't mind the dangers. I don't mind that people could get hurt. I don't mind that they're putting they're going to the extreme. Like, that part doesn't bother me as much. I'm fine. Like, I'm fine if this is what's it's going to put them to the brink of like near death. I don't know. For me, that's like what the challenge is now. So I'm fine with that. That part doesn't really bother me personally.
I guess though, the way I view it. Sorry, Lasher. I was thinking, you know, they say that like, comedy is somebody falling when you know they're okay. And like, you can't laugh if somebody is hurt. And so to me, this elimination is a whole, this is a bigger thing, but as it applies to this elimination, to me, I'm not going to look back on this as Rogan is such a badass. Like, he's so amazing. This is like the CT backpack. This didn't have joy or fun in it. This just was sad. I don't know. It didn't sit well with me, I guess.
And that's, I think we're like walking, and I'm sure like the creators of the show are walking like a fine line, right? Because I agree, and I don't think Rourke is saying otherwise, that like, it's very cool to watch, like, the danger element doesn't need to be taken away completely. Like,
totally.
What you're saying you like about it, I also like about it. Like, I can really remember watching some finals and some challenges over the years, and everyone knows I can't remember S about this show, but I do remember moments of being like, oh my God, like, what athleticism, what determination, like, they don't think they can go anymore, and then they do, and like, that is cool, and that's the challenge, and I don't want to take that away.
Agreed.
At the same time, with what Rourke's saying, I totally agree, like, do I need to see someone pick up someone half their size wind them up and slam them for no advancement of the game. Again, there's sort of like an asterisk of like, okay, Rogan's trying to be strategic and like threaten other people through this. It's within the rules of the game. Okay. But I don't want to see like Rogan's later, like I almost feel bad for him. It's like, dude, like chill out. Like I think the line for me, and I'm still learning what I think it is at this stage, is if Jay is declining medical attention that would be fine to take and then continue, we have a problem, right? Like he should be willing to like do what is being offered to him and then come back without feeling like people are going to shame him like he's some subpar athlete in the game. If that's where I come at. People need to get
that. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Like you should be able to, you know, give yourself at least the proper hydration to compete in a challenge. And I also think it's fair to critique the medical staff. I mean, I don't know the level of the medical staff that they have on the show, but if you can't diagnose like that level of concussion that was pretty clearly evident, like, you know, right after the fact, I mean, that's dangerous. If, honestly, if I was that's where the level of danger, like if I was on the show, I'd be like, they can't really recognize a basic concussion that could be super dangerous, then I like that's where I would be like, all right, like who are we dealing with, like who's our like our safety net?
They need a CTE protocol.
Well, that's the irony, that a CT ends up taking Jay out of the challenge is not lost on me. As much as this isn't funny, when they were we've got to take him for a CT scan, I was like, oh, it's been full circle for Jay.
That's really amazing. I didn't even pick up on that.
I know. I assume Jay is okay. I mean, he's posting poetry on Instagram, so I'm assuming he's doing all right.
That could be a point to not being okay, personally, if you're doing that. So,
how dare you?
I watched the arc. I did not. I'm very self-conscious about going on to, like, watching people's lives because it informs them that you're there, and I just don't like it. So I watched a little bit of his.
A burner account to watch lives.
I know, right? And so I watched it once it was done. So I watched like the archival footage, and he seems fine.
Is that what a Finsta is? We need the casual correspondent Nicole, who I did check in with today. Remind me, please, to explain to me what a Finsta is. Maybe that's it.
I think I know what a Finsta is.
We could get into it later, but I've really never understood the purpose of it.
I'm deep into TikTok. I know all the like the new phrases. I know all like the little hand motions they all do. I think I'm like a cool dad now.
As Rob's sister Nina said, now that you're on TikTok, it means TikTok is over.
Yeah, probably, but that's okay. I'll take it down with me.
Let's talk about the challenge here itself, the Fireball Challenge elimination. Matt Stewart said, was there any way to win that elimination strategically, or is the bigger person guaranteed to win? And then Matt says he doesn't understand why it's a good challenge when all you have to do is knock the ball to the ground.
Well, it's not just knock. Yeah, I mean, it's not just knock the ball to the ground, right? Like it was. You have to knock it out of the ring because clearly, after Jay took a couple shots, he was able to try to run and go grab it. Just Rogan beat him to it and knocked it out of the ring. So, I mean, there, you could do some strategy, but I think the problem is you have to at least match up 80% physically. Like you can't be 20%, which is what this was.
So one clarification, like Jay, I too am confused by the rules because I thought it was what you're saying, Brian. But then when Jay, and I don't mean to make light of it, it was really scary and it was sad and it shouldn't have come to that. And I am like I am doing in my corona life, like trying to make the best of a bad situation. I shouldn't be making jokes about it. But I do think it was confusing because then the producer is like, when the ball hits the ground, it's dead. You have to knock it out of his hand.
I heard the
like,
same thing.
Well, there you go. Maybe I have a concussion.
But I'm just, but like, that's what's unclear is like, to me, this should be like, I can understand they're having like aftershocks where they're just running after the ball anyway, just in case to be like extra sure. But I think the ball was dead when it hit the ground.
That was my understanding,
by the
way.
Yeah. What a great job to be like the personal explainer of rules on a challenge. That sounds like that's my dream right there. I think
somebody already has that job. And yeah, we'll get to her.
Maybe she'll expand. Maybe she'll expand and I can take her place.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay, so do you like this challenge at work, or do you agree that it's just like based on size, especially if like you can see when you volunteer that it's based on size? So it's not even like random draw.
I think that there's got to be a way to do it with speed and like juking the person, where I wonder how far you can step off the line. Like, can you make a running start and then stop, spin, dunk? Like, you know, are there, or do you have to start right on the edge of the circuit? Do you know what I mean?
You want to like a space jam, where you just extend your arm all the way over him or something like that?
I mean, like a wide receiver coming up to speed and then like juking a safety. Like, come on. Like, that's doable.
Yeah, just juke. Obviously, just juke on sand in fire repellent gear. Just juke.
Yeah, I think the problem is the sand. The sand takes away a lot of your ability to do a lot of these different things that
Yeah, that's true. I played sand volleyball once.
Yeah.
Can I ask I need to stay on topic. The other thing though with this is like, yeah, we need clarification on when is Rogan allowed to make contact with Jay? Is it only when he steps into the circle? Because then can Jay like speedily run around the perimeter and then charge and just try to like outrun Rogan? I mean, Jay.
Yeah, you can like try to tire him out. Just run around the circle over and over and over again.
Well, yeah, maybe. I think Jay like made a very strong effort to just try to shoot, you know, from three.
Yeah.
But, you know, it wasn't happening.
Nope.
All right. Let's do the farewell for Jay. We've been ranking Rourke the likelihood of the rookies who get eliminated to come back. Where would you put Jay in comparison to Asaf and Jennifer, who I wrote as Jamie in my notes, if that gives you any idea of how likely I think she's to come back?
I think Jay is number one, and then, you know, jump off a cliff and then you reach the other two.
Brian, I'm guessing you're also somewhere there.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that TJ said like, we'll definitely see you again. I mean, I know TJ obviously has a lot of say in casting and finals, but you know, that's a big statement.
Well, I missed that. I heard Jay say it. I need to go back because I'd like to hear TJ say that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Or TJ says, I'm positive we'll see you again.
I'm also positive. I think Jay had probably his best case scenario, including the way he went out. Like, obviously, that's terrible. And if he has any, like, assuming he's totally okay, right? Like, getting eliminated in a way that's memorable, not just Rogan making you look like a chump. I don't think Jay looked like a chump at all here. And eliminating CT and eliminating Asaf and, like, hooking up with D and being, like, you know, vocal in the house. I just think I was totally down on Jay after X on the Beach. High after Survivor, very low after X on the Beach. Now I'm excited that Jay had this showing. I also am positive that he'll be back.
Also, like, why else is he getting ripped?
Yeah, I don't know. He is doing the, like, textbook, like, shows up small and then becomes, like, a professional challenge athlete by later. So excited for him. Yep. Asaf, though, I was obviously higher than both of you and Asaf coming back. But I think because Jay has become so likely to come back, it bumps Asaf out of contention. Not that you guys thought he was in contention, but there can only be one.
Yeah. Definitely Jay over Asaf.
Felipe Shimon says, would Rourke do the challenge crossover now that Survivor is a feeder show?
Dear God, no. Talk about everything to lose and nothing to gain.
Oh my God, that would be great though. There was someone who was a lawyer on the show once, right? Who am I I'm thinking of a law student on Are You the One?
Oh yeah. Sorry, with an Moosty. M. Yeah, Moosty.
There's a throwback for you.
Was he was on a Guisa season, I think.
I can't piece these people together. They're all in there and filed under Do Not Open. But okay, Rourke, so you don't want to be the representative, but how do you feel Jay was as a representative for Survivor? You mentioned that some people are maybe being contacted. Do you think that this is just opening the floodgates now?
I do think that the way he played, I do think makes space for production to want other Survivor players if they view him as a representative of the whole. And so I think that, you know, if Survivor people aren't getting called to go on Survivor, but want this to be a thing that they can do, great. Have at it. Have fun. I'll text you about it later and get the scoop.
And this is, I mean, for somebody who goes on Survivor reality television, not like you did, but for someone who wants to be actor/model/ like host, whatever, no disrespect to those people, but like, this is a much more lucrative
100%
way to go than to just go even like have a chance to go back on Survivor again, right?
No question. The demographics are better for you.
So we'll look forward
in terms
to
of watchers and potential Instagram followers. I mean,
we did get a lot of people writing in criticism about the way that TJ and Rogan and everyone reacted to Jay's departure. Do you think there was a too much celebration, Brian, or was it deserved?
I thought it was pretty well deserved. I mean, he won a couple of eliminations. Obviously, having one of them be against CT, that'll boost the standing anymore. Yeah, I mean, I don't think they even carry him out on like, their shoulders and stuff. But I thought they gave him a nice enough standoff that it was pretty well earned.
I just when Rogan says me and D will always have a closeness, I'm just in my mind like D is replaying that in quarantine 600 times, a la Michael Scott. I guess I missed you from Jan. Like, I'm just, like, picturing D on repeat being like, me and D will always have a closeness. Me and D will always have a closeness. As though that means absolutely anything.
I'm getting ahead of myself. But when D is critiquing Jenna, I was like, sit down. Sit down. Where she was like, maybe we're just different people. I would never do that for a man or whatever she said. I was like, oh, no.
Well, what was so great about that evolution from D, and I think it's time to talk about because there are no rules and this episode didn't even matter. Like, D first, I'm like, leave it to D to defend leaving for the guy. Because first she's like, well, if Jenna thinks he's going to propose to her, then maybe she should leave for that. Like, do anything to get that man. And then she's like, but I wouldn't do it. So she simultaneously like backs Zach as reasonable and still slams Jenna for considering
it's incredible.
Is D? I'm trying to be nice. Okay, a lot of Survivors quitting Twitter has like made me not that I'm directly related to that, but has made me take a look at myself and be like, quarantine's hard enough. Like, am I being harsh on these people? I don't want it to be personal. It's just a show. And then some people make it hard, you know.
Who's quitting Twitter?
A lot of Survivors from this season have deleted their Twitters.
Huh.
Yikes.
Interesting.
There you go. I didn't realize I was dropping bombs over here.
Well, I quit Twitter years ago.
Oh, that's true, actually. So a lot of Survivors are quitting Twitter.
You started the trend, Rourke.
Wow.
Yeah, but all right. Well, we'll talk offline about that. And it's not a secret that they did do it. All right. I don't know. What else is there even to talk about? We get to Bananas and Kayla, right?
Like, I'm sorry. I want to talk about if this was a on the fly rule change. Because I think you should only get a red skull if you win. Rogan did not win.
But he kind of did. But he did.
No, he didn't. Jay had to go. Jay got medevaced.
That he won. He DQ'd. It's like he knocked him out.
I don't know. He never was on offense. He didn't win.
He didn't lose.
Right, but you have to win to get a red skull.
If Jay had, let's say, a peanut allergy, and in the interim had eaten a peanut and had an allergic reaction before they get down there, and he's eliminated from the game, I agree, Rogan doesn't get a skull. If Jay, because of his participation in the challenge, is no longer able to continue, I think that is a win.
Fine.
I think if he trips on the rope and breaks his nose and can't continue, I still think Rogan wins. Like, once the air horn goes off, whoever cannot continue or loses.
Fine.
Agree.
So get out of here, Rory. I think that would be great. Though. If TJ had said, like, you didn't win, you're not running my final, that would be hilarious. But
it would be very funny, and I would not be upset about it in any way. But he did win, but yeah.
Cut to Rogan, like, trying to, like, peel off one of Jay's skulls from the helmet while he's, like, in the ambulance. Like, Rogan would be so thirsty for a skull. I mean, me too. I don't know why I'm acting like I'm above it. They need them.
You need a skull?
You gotta run the final, baby.
Eh.
Oh.
Yes, Baron Kayla.
Well, actually, now I'm gonna rewind for a second also. Bet you didn't think we could do 30 minutes before we get to the meat and potatoes of the episode, but
this Rogan is like the, and Kyle the vegan are having meat. This. It's not real. This is the vegan meat.
What?
If meat and potatoes. If this episode has meat and potatoes, it's like the vegan meat. It's not real meat.
Ryan.
I'm trying.
No. I'm watching Love Island season 5, and right before I got on here, they made a joke like that, like, the meat hamburgers they were using were actually vegan, vegetarian, and now I'm just like, were you also watching that? Okay, sorry. I shouldn't have added that. Good joke.
Thank you, Alex. I appreciate it.
So, Rogan and Kyle have this extremely annoying conversation, not to lead the guest on this at all, but they're saying that Jay was so arrogant in calling people names and calling them out. Like, is that the narrative? Was Jay arrogant, Rourke, or was Jay literally doing anything he could to, like, try to get the target off of him?
I think it's very clearly the latter. And I also think that, you know, that's not only that, it's just a good idea, especially if you're new, if you're probably going to go early, like, make a scene, make it memorable. You know, I get it. I get what he was doing. It's fine.
He was literally like, you're a coward if you call me out, like, trying to appeal to their, like, you know, like, monkey brains.
Yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a classic situation of, like, the winner can dictate the history of the event, right? So if Jay comes back and wins, you can say, like, oh, Rogan was goading me. He wanted this all the time. I showed the back of his face because Rogan wins / doesn't lose. He can spin the story how he wants.
Is this setting us up for a vendetta situation?
Probably. I guess so. Possibly.
I'm speechless by how bored I am at that potential pairing.
I know, right?
Literally kill me. And then we'll see how quick that was not a real rivalry from Rogan's end, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine the D confessionals, like, oh, I'm so torn. Like, these boys couldn't get to, like, I'm hurting their team. Like, I want Rogan to make it to the end, but his animosity towards Jay for hooking up with me at a bar a year ago. Oh, I, like, already want to just, like, jump off a cliff with the Soph and Jessica. Jennifer, whatever.
Oh, this poor girl can't even get her name right.
Can we talk? Am I the poor girl in this situation?
No, the other girl. I don't even know which is the correct name, so I'm not going to say it.
It's definitely Jennifer.
Okay.
Let's talk about... Yeah, because there was another Jenny.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Baron Bananas and... You know, I'm tired. I'm very tired of having to come on here and be like, people treated people badly beyond what's, like, chill in the game.
I don't want to take down the mood, but I want to talk about a 3-word quote from Bananas.
Yep.
Persistence beats resistance. What do we think?
Brian, what do you think?
So Bear's a douchebag, right?
Bananas said that.
I don't know. The whole situation's horrible. There's no defending it. I mean, they all suck. Kayla sucks too. Everyone sucks. This quartet of people all suck together.
The one good line we did get out of this, which I was, like, excited for a smidge, is, like, when Bananas did say the Grand Canyon was carved by a little stream. Like, that made me chuckle, but then I realized it was going to, like, a very bad place. I was like, oh no, I've been lured in and now I don't want to be anywhere else.
Oh my God, it was so brutal.
Also, we talked about this last week. It's tiny potatoes here. Like, everybody's cheated. Bear himself is currently a cheater. B- Bananas has cheated. They've all cheated. It's like, I feel like Kayla suffers more because this, like, now in the new age of, like, people don't drink and they're big athletes and there's not as much drama and they're coming on the show, like, married with kids. This is a huge deal by comparison to what is happening day to day, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, on a regular episode, like, season back in the day, 100%, like, this matters. I'm not going to say no one would talk about it. But would it occupy everybody's attention span for seemingly the end of time? Probably not.
Mm-hmm. And then you add to it that it's Bear. That, like, everyone, like, I mean, like, the cheat with Bear, it's like, as everyone pointed out, I mean, gotta find the better option there.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Okay, here's where I'm going to come in and be like, the whole, like, Kayla gets what she gets because she hooked up with Bear. It's like, let's go back. Something I criticize Kayla about 100% of the time is that she doesn't watch this damn show. That's not an excuse of the behavior, right? But that's got to be in the conversation. That's one. Two, again, we see Bear in confessionals making a joke, treating her like a piece of meat. We see Bear yucking it up with the guys, talking about them hooking up like she's a piece of meat. We see Bear running corny game on her for sure, but seemingly, apparently charmingly, and relentlessly giving her nonstop positive attention in a difficult situation. Now, I'm not saying she's excused from cheating on her boyfriend by any means, but I also don't buy that, like, she knew what she was getting. We've all heard the way he talks. We see how she treats women. Like, we definitely have not seen the full gamut of how Bear was treating Kayla, just like we didn't see it with Dee and Rogan, even though I get on Dee all the time. Like, I just think it's so much more obvious to us than it is to Kayla.
Yeah, that's totally fair. And I did wonder, I don't know if we want to take the whole, like, if we want to take Bear and Kayla as sort of a story and then Jenna and Zach as a story instead of how the episode interspersed them with each other. But so Bear and Kayla, I guess I felt like she, in that when she's talking to him outside and she's saying things like, I threw this all away for a guy who doesn't even care about me. It made me wonder, like, what she thought this was. Right? Where was it, like, let's leave our partners for each other and be together? Or was it like, because I think if you're really happy in your relationship, you're not tempted by a hookup. And I guess probably not even tempted by, like, an offer of a new relationship. But it's just so weird that she seemed to view it at this emotional level rather than just like I'm unhappy and I'm liking attention. And it was interesting to me the way she seems to view it.
I think part of that reaction, at least to me, and I agree that we're largely missing, that's like me, what I'm saying too. Like, I feel like we're missing part of the story because we don't get here with what we've been shown, I don't think. And part of it is Kayla has said on Twitter retroactively, which who knows if that's canon, I mean, whatever, that, like, she was unhappy in her relationship, which jives with what you're saying, Rourke, that you probably don't get here. You know, there's a reason Jenna's not here, you know, for whatever reason she is happy in her relationship, or at least not willing to sacrifice it or risk it. But, like, I think Bear, like, taps into vulnerabilities in people. And I think, I'm not saying that Kayla wasn't giving into it. Like, Kayla definitely was enjoying interacting with Bear. And she gave us those honest confessionals of, like, kind of, like, knowing she was screwing up and giving him reciprocating and not just, like, putting her foot down and saying, like, absolutely not. But I don't know that she expected a relationship, but my read just on the episode, and I'm sure there's a ton we haven't seen, is, like, Bear was saying all this to her and making it seem like he really liked her and she got carried away, he got carried away, whatever, they hooked up. And then he is not only putting her on blast to all of the guys in front of her in the kitchen, laughing about it, making jokes, treating her like shit about it, and participating in this humiliation that Wes and Bananas pull in her bedroom. And so she's like, not only like I made this big mistake that I'm already dealing with. And definitely, I think she's projecting some of those feelings onto Baron this moment that she knows she's responsible for, too. But you're also like, don't even give a shit about me as a person. Like, you're now humiliating me, too. So, wow, I'm doubly dumb.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she got a big crash course of reality when this all kind of broke down. And like, she was like, oh, my God, what did I just do for that? For this? Like, how was this even possibly worth it? It was a big, like, bad eureka moment.
Did you guys observe that she and Bear seem to either be exchanging a ring?
That's interesting. Say more.
When she's crying in the bunk bed, they do a zoom in on her sort of rubbing her eyes, and you see in her hand a pretty thick ring with a bunch of like tiny, they're definitely just not diamonds, you know, shiny things. And
I would hope not.
And then later, and it's on like her middle finger, I think. And then later it is on that exact ring, I'm 100% positive, is on Bear.
See, that's interesting because we talked about this in the preseason, but like that was sort of spoiled that like Kayla's later in an Instagram post with that ring, which is like known to be Bear's ring. So I feel like that goes back to like we're not seeing what Bear is making seem like an intimate, real connection that they have. That said, doesn't justify the cheating. And I don't think Kayla's trying to get out of it, with the exception of the fact that she says last week, I didn't think the cameras would get it, which is shady as hell and messed up.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
That's not a good explanation.
A quick moment of levity before we get to the bedroom situation. But my headphones are just so on their last leg, and I have headphones plugged into my phone, and I was hearing you guys, but like knew it was going to go out. And so now I am literally holding my phone. Like I was like, oh, it's just like a phone. So now I've never done this before where I'm just holding a cell phone to my ear and talking into the microphone.
This is some boomer energy coming in.
Yeah, exactly. This is like how my mom would podcast.
Hook up the cord and get a nice little kitchen cord phone.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm basically, on a landline right now. But let's talk, Brian, what do we do here? What do we do with the Fab 2, with the new decorating plan from Wes and Bananas?
What do we do? I mean, that's like to me, that part wasn't that bad. That's like a very typical challenge-esque prank. Not to a rookie, because obviously Kayla's not a rookie, but that's like just like, I don't know. That's things that they've done in this house to many people before that didn't really necessarily bother me. And I don't think it really even necessarily bothered Kayla when she first walked in. She was like, oh my God, you guys. And then when she saw the pictures, that kind of made it spiral. But at least the decoration was like, oh, that's kind of like a, I don't know, typical prank.
Rourke.
You watch Vanderpump Rules, right?
Yes.
How dare you?
Okay, great. So there are actually two Vanderpump Rules comparisons I want to make about this episode. But the first one is, I think this is something the Vanderpump Rules editors do incredibly well. These little vignettes when the people are in confessionals talking about, like when they were talking about Tom Sandoval's best man services. And, you know, they'll do these sort of little ads they just do a really great job. And they clearly have a lot of fun with it. And I think I think these editors tried to make it that. And it almost felt like this is even giving it more credit than it deserves. But it ended up to me feeling a little cognitively dissonant because there's something so like fun and joyful about Fab Five, and then it went so south that I was like, oh wait, I don't know if this is not fun, like it's not funny, and I don't like that they paired those two ideas together.
See, that's interesting, because like this happens to me, I forget what else earlier in the season this happened to me on, where it's like, I know this is bad, I'm a good person generally, I know right and wrong, I know this is wrong. But I was dying when they did the Fab 2. I literally, when they said the Fab 2, and it's Wes and Bananas, it's the manipulator and the pot stirrer, like, I really enjoyed it. Then it's like, and it was Bear's room, so it's sort of like, okay, it's like a roast of Bear. And then Wes has to get those freaking pictures of Kayla and her boyfriend. And I'm like, yeah. Ugh, why can't we just have like one nice, harmless thing that still has some harm, but is mostly harmless? And then you notice, right, that it's like B plus K minus M. Like, again, Bear's got a girlfriend. No one, just because Bear doesn't give a shit about his relationship, he's off scot-free here. Like, it's just a roast of Mikey.
Or does Kayla. He just have a cousin?
Look, I don't want to look at Bear's family tree. Let's say that. But yeah, so I thought like largely what Brian is saying, I agree. Like, it was fun. It's a prank, whatever. But I think Wes and them like took it once again too far, as they're wanting to do.
Totally.
My big question, Brian, is we know this is not a spoiler. We've seen Kayla and Bear hook up on the preview, and we have not seen that hookup scene. Although we did see a scene from the preview tonight where they say, I threw my relationship away for a guy who doesn't care about me. How on earth is Bear coming back from this, from humiliating her, and then when she confronts him about it, saying, it's not a problem?
So,
I mean, we've seen it. Sorry, that was directed to Brian.
No, go for it. You're the guest. Everyone who already hears me talk, you answer.
No. It's just, didn't that exact thing happen with Georgia? Where he was like, watch, I'm going to make it better.
Yeah.
He's got the British charm, though. He can't be resisted. Persistence.
Oh. We pause because Rourke just threw up.
I have a friend, by the way, who loves like all this genre stuff. And so I texted her, are you watching Too Hot to Handle? And she goes, no, I don't condone British accents.
That's a hot take.
I know.
That's not condoning a lot of people.
Anyway, sorry.
In this case, checks out, though.
100%.
Speaking of not condoning things.
Do we think Kayla calls the boyfriend during the show, or is this a post-show situation?
Well, not to cheat, but I think Mikey said like he didn't hear anything about it until like was hearing like spoiler. Like, I don't think I wonder. See, Brooke, you're obviously more plugged into reality than we are, but not that this is an option on Survivor at all. But like, if you're a producer, do you want them to have that conversation, or do you worry that it's going to like derail Kayla or like stop the drama with Bear and Kayla? You know what I mean? Or I don't really know. Or maybe Kayla's just avoiding it.
I think from a pure production standpoint, you want that conversation to be avoided because you cannot control what the person on the other side of the line does. They could hang up. They could, like, you don't actually get to tell that story, but you can tell the story of Bear and Kayla.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But does she have calls with, because I didn't realize until pretty recently in this season that they do have regular calls with the outside world. So you would think Kayla would be talking to him throughout the season. So I guess she just doesn't bring it up.
I either think they say she's not allowed to make that call anymore, which is, I think, probably unlikely that they would do that or could do that. I think it's probably more likely that if yeah, it's possible that she talks to him and acts like everything is fine, but I think it's probably more likely that she avoids him, like Zach was doing to Jenna.
I also wonder if, you know, similar to Survivor, where you submit who your loved ones are going to be and you have to have backups, I wonder if there's a chance he is not the first on her list. Like, maybe she talks to her mom. Like, you can't have an unlimited list. We don't know who these people talk to, right? Besides the ones that we see.
There's a sign that the relationship was heading south.
That's like the next level, like MySpace 8. I can't even make her call list when she goes off on a reality show.
Let's talk about someone who probably shouldn't have made Jenna's call list. Two flawless transitions, both to this one scene.
We're talking about her friend Nicole, right? That's what we're talking about?
That's what's funny is, like, you said earlier, Brian, like, this was sort of like, it's gonna, maybe it didn't pay off. I'm not convinced that this is the end of this. I don't know that Jenna's gonna leave for him, but like, I don't think that there's any way that Jenna's not crying about this. And I don't mean to be like, she's a crybaby. Like, Jenna should be crying about this, and that's fair. But I think there's no way that she's not reacting about this for the foreseeable future until she goes home.
What I found actually like kind of funny and also sad for Jenna is where she stands in this challenge universe. Is if this was like if this was Kara or someone else who's like a really good competitor, you would get the clip of, oh, this could be great. Jenna's going to be gone and we'll lose like a tough female competitor, one more person that I don't have to beat. We didn't get that from a single person. They are not worried about Jenna, the competitor, even in the slightest.
Yeah, I mean, they're even like, well, Tori's like, now I'll go against her. It'll be great.
Yeah.
And I don't know that they're like, oh, Jenna's weak, but they're like, she will be weakened or even weaker from this.
I'm having a moment. I'm sorry. I need to talk about this. Please. I just went on Jenna's Instagram. She has an pearl and like, you know, some sort of transferred material. I doubt it's embroidered. Denim jacket that says Mrs. Nichols. And it says Jenna and Zach when she pops the collar. And she's chosen to write the date in Roman numerals. I am a nearly JD educated person, and I don't know the date of this wedding. There's no chance she knows the date of her wedding from these Roman numerals.
That is the iconic coverage we needed tonight.
I can reason it out because it's gotta be 2021 because it's MMXXI. So that's gotta be 2021. So February, she's not a Corona bride.
February 13th. Day before Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's a tragic date. Okay, whatever.
Well, I think their wedding moved. Or maybe this was the date.
Is she a Corona bride?
This might have always been the date.
Well, no, they couldn't have been because they got engaged this past like holiday. So unless they were going to get married super quick.
Look, I don't care about their wedding date unless it's in Roman numerals. So maybe it's fair to have that. But what I was going to say about this is, like, while I think it needed to be shown because it happened, I'm not interested in Zach's Skype drama. Like, if you want your shit on the show, then show up on the show. Like, there's no reason to be Skyping. It's like when Brittany and Brad, like, I don't want to see your Skype breakup. Like, show up if you want to be shown.
That's a fair point.
Yep.
Maybe that's controversial.
Also, was he just like avoiding eye contact, or was there like a second camera that Zach was looking at? Because I don't think he never looked at the screen the entire time. Like he was like looking specifically at something.
Kind of threw That's how bad it was, Brian. That's how I bad so. It was.
So Rourke, I have 1,000 questions about this interaction because you are soon to be JD educated, but you also are a social worker in a past life. Is that correct?
That is correct.
I'm like interrogating you. Like, would you agree that you were a social worker? I feel like you must have 1,000 things to say about this relationship dynamic that we saw on the screen.
It's perplexing, honestly. I mean, okay, first of all, him removing his retainer is the grossest thing I've seen on my laptop.
That was hysterical.
It was insane.
Like, you take that off before you answer a call. Like, what is happening?
Yeah. So then the other part is obviously that, like, what? Like,
I don't know, that was very funny.
I'm sorry. This is just classic, like, we were on a break, right? And, like, I think that this is the only thing that it really can be is sort of like insecurity and transference of shit that you've done. Oh, sorry, S. I don't know if we swear here, but stuff that you've done. And because you've done it, you're so anxious that your partner is also doing it. And so I guess it like has to be that, because this is some incredibly like manipulative stuff.
Yeah, I feel like this was a major projection. Brian, I want your thoughts on this because you're no stan of Zach, but I want to introduce a nugget of information we got in the questions from Scott Juer. I don't know. Tell me how to pronounce your name. I'm going to do it as a blind item because I don't know if this is true. So Scott says, why do you think the show didn't address that Jenna and Zach drama was over her hookup with blank, who's currently on the show? He is in the house with her. Seems like a weird thing to leave out. So it was cagey, right? Zach's looking at the screen and is like, you know what I'm talking about. And then Jenna does a confessional. It's like, look, you don't always leave everything in, but we weren't together. That's all that matters. And it does seem like a disproportionate reaction from Zach. Have you guys heard anything about this?
No, I thought we were about to play a trivia game of guess who it was.
Yeah, no, I don't know what this is. I haven't been following. I'll check the Reddit.
I don't know. I don't mean to be like cagey about it. I just don't want to like. Okay, so this is interesting. Like,
are we gonna slander Jenna?
You can. Whatever, who cares? Like, the point is that potentially does Zach have a better case for his reaction if it was about an undisclosed hookup with someone Jenna's currently in the house with?
No, I mean, Zach sucks. I think that's the thing that people forget that, like, because I think he was, like, pretty popular last season all the way through the end there where people were oddly rooting for him. Like, this is Zach. This is who Zach has been going back to his real world days, like, a decade ago or whenever it was. He's just an awful person. Sometimes he kind of falls in the background and people forget about it, but this is him. So, it, like, no matter who it was, if they were broken up, he obviously had no grounds. And Zach's just a bad person. So, like, no, this is him. People, I guess, who just joined the show are finally seeing that.
Is it Corey?
I don't think, I agree. I don't think that it gives, I mean, maybe it at least justifies why he'd be concerned about it, at least enough to be like, hey, you hooked up with someone potentially in the Challenge franchise. Maybe you should have told me about that. I don't want to look down. You know, big conversation. I don't think it's, I ghost you, then I can't look you in the eye. I accuse you of giving me attitude while I unravel. And I basically threaten you with our relationship ending if you don't quit a show you're on. It's like if you don't quit your job, like, I can't even talk to you. Like that's Zach, not great. And yeah, we have not forgotten that Zach is this. This is a good reminder.
Yep.
Rourke, where do you stand on Zach?
Oh, I'm so against Zach. I'm so not rooting for Zach. It's, you know, the classic, you always want to be concerned, right? When you go to your partner with something that makes you uncomfortable and you end up apologizing to them. That is never a good pattern.
That's what was so crazy to me, right? Is like the way that Zach lays this out and the way that Jenna, like, or Jenna lays it out, she's in a confessional and she literally says, he looked at my Instagram's violation from 2 years ago, irrelevant, to when we weren't dating, even then more relevant, like that he cares about this. And it's all my fault. Like, how is that the evolution of her thought process? Like, he violated my privacy, dug up shit from when we weren't together 2 years ago, and I'm so sorry.
How do you even find that? Like, he just kept, like, hitting the down tab button until he found, like, ooh, what's this DM? Like, how do you even come across that? I never understand that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, people online can be shitty. Like, maybe somebody hit him up and was like, this happened, and he went and looked into it, but, like, still not an excuse. But, like, I know people apparently, like, DM people on these shows all the time and are like, you should see what your, like, dream phone, but in, like, a nasty way. Like, I know where he hangs out. It's not with you. It's a deep cut.
So to me, I think I think the freaking out about something when you weren't together is that to me puts this in the stratosphere of ridiculous. But I take the, if you're familiar with Dan Savage, I do have the Dan Savage approach of if you look and you find something, then, like, the burden has shifted. You have not done anything wrong anymore because, like, there was something in your gut that was telling you that was wrong and you were right. You found it. And so, like, I think at that point you're actually clear, but he did not actually find anything.
And I think what was even more of importance about why this was just incredibly boring is that
so I this just is to say not, I'm pro snooping.
I just do not care about Jenna and Zach anymore. Like, this relationship drama has been going on for, like, this is like Gar and Paulie, but, like, add an additional few years. Like, I just don't care. Like, they're engaged, or they want to be engaged, they want to get married, like, good luck, all the best, but, like, I don't care about them much at all. So, like, this was the fact that we had not only to deal with them, we then had to deal with, like, the entire house giving their own personal opinions. Like, I couldn't care less about Jenna and Zach talking to each other, let alone Dee and all of them talking about Zach and Jenna. So that was, this made that brutal.
So that's actually really interesting. I agree with you, and, like, I needed you to lay that out, that it's, like, it is true. Like, I don't actually care if they break up or if they stay together or if she leaves or if she stays. What I actually found interesting is Nani talking about Jenna and Zach. Like, that for, like, it, we talk about how, like, people from, who are just joining from, like, the Big Brother Survivor fandom are, like, appreciating this. Like, I feel like they did a really good job of, like, explaining how terrible Jenna and Zach have been on and off, like, to watch and deal with. But to get one of Jenna's best friends in real life's perspective, and that perspective be, if she wants to go home, then fine. She could go back to her, like, terrible life with Zach. I forget what she said. She said something
absolutely brutal. Yeah.
Sorry,
I was just confirming. It was basically that. Yeah, yeah. Keep going.
I'm barely hearing on this phone. It's like a joke. I need help. But, like, look, I've never been married, but I imagine that might be difficult to have air and then, like, you know, be in someone's wedding. To that man, like, I feel like that's gonna be, like, they're still good friends, like, they haven't had a falling out over it, but, like, that's not great. I feel like this is not a good thing to say, and it's interesting to see Nani say something like that to me.
No, you're not wrong. I mean, I'm a big fan, actually, of, like, direct feedback about that stuff. Like, I pretty much pull no punches where I'm like, oh, like, I think that guy's, like, treating you pretty poorly, and I think it's BS, and I think you should probably end it, and I'm gonna say I told you so. But so, like, it's then that friend's choice whether or not to, like, continue with me, frankly. And so, like, I'm all for letting friends know where you stand and not being sort of like a rubber stamp on what you think is a legitimately, like, not healthy decision. I think, frankly, like, the best outcome here is Jenna goes to therapy.
Don't disagree with that. But the thing with a Nani comment, I think it's good to give feedback like that. But, like, and I'm sure Nani over the years has said shit like this to her before. And maybe that's where the frustration comes from. But it's more the watching her say it in a confessional. Like, it just, that just hit me hard. Like, she wants to leave, she can go back to her terrible life. I was like, ooh, that's brutal. But fair. I mean, that's what we're seeing. So
I regularly give confessionals about my friends that they don't see.
Well, then that's fine if they never see it. They're going to watch this.
That's true.
Should we talk about the Kansas City Alliance? I was kind of bored. By the time we got back to strategy, I was like, I'm asleep.
Fun twist. Moving on.
I didn't know Bailey was from Kansas City, though, actually, so that was a little bit surprising.
Yeah, I mean, it's not surprising that it's like how Wes cackles to himself, and he's like, literally, this is all I do is make alliances with the new people, so I don't understand why people don't suspect it. But, yeah, I mean, good on Wes. Like, I don't...
Yeah. I mean, look, at least it's something relevant to, as opposed to the other two things that we've been talking about, so at least that has impact on the game, you would hope.
And it's actually... Go ahead.
No. You go, because I was going to sort of bridge us to the next thing. So go.
Let's bridge us.
I was going to say, I found myself agreeing with Jordan twice in this episode, which was shocking. Once when he said that Jenna should stay, and then twice when he said, Bailey, you forgot the piece.
Oh, God.
So that'll move us to the challenge.
We've already said this. I mean, I was looking forward to never having to say substance over form over substance again, but here we are again with another challenge like this. I gave up. I mean, the only interesting thing I think is, like, when TJ starts, like, roasting Jenna beforehand, and I actually thought this was kind of unfair. I thought TJ scolding her for considering leaving when she was being put in a really unfair position by her boyfriend was also, like, doubly walls closing in on her kind of thing.
I like that he's trying to be vague about it, though. That was my favorite. Like, if anyone here, not saying any names, Jenna, if anyone here wants to leave Jenna, leave now, Jenna, but I'm not saying anyone's name.
Kayla threatened it, too.
yeah, I think that people, I also read this as mostly a Jenna thing, but yeah, but like, that's the other thing. Like when he first said, I heard about some stuff going on at the bunker, I was like, oh, is he about to reprimand people for like harassing Kayla? And I was like, no, he's going to reprimand Kayla and Jenna for
yeah.
like, just reacting in a situation. Of course.
Yeah. Allie, why'd you think otherwise?
That's on me. I mean, as Bear says, quitters never win. So, you know, take it from Bear.
It is true. If you do quit a game, it is makes it very difficult to win. He's got a point.
So are you saying that Rogan did not win because Jay quit?
Took the words from my mouth.
No, if you quit, you can't then win. Like, the quitter can't win. No. I'm still in the right. No.
I understand what you're saying. It's just funny.
I saw you two ready to jump on me. No.
No. I didn't drop the piece. No.
Josh, you dropped the piece.
Let's talk about the sad fact that this is Fast and Furious Spawn, which was supposed to come out like May 20th or May 19th.
Yeah. And has been delayed until
April 2021.
My greatest sadness.
Brian,
put it
how
in
do you
Roman
say,
numerals.
I was
so I
just
can forget
say,
about it.
How do you write it in Roman numerals?
So sad.
Are you a Fast and Furious fan, Rourke, or just made you sad that this Spawn went limp?
Oh, no. I'm a diehard. All the Fasts. I like every
all the
Fast.
Furiouses.
You're the most furious.
I am. And none of these people have ever seen it, which is crazy because it's a multi-billion dollar franchise, so everyone has seen it. And the only name check they could do was Vin Diesel. Madness.
So I'm on the record as being a big Triple X fan, and I forget which podcast I said this on, but I have never seen a single Fast or Furious, despite being pretty furious in general.
They're incredible pieces of cinema. And I say that sincerely.
I know you do, which is why I'm laughing.
I will give you a definitive ranking that should be unchecked. That is, it's not even an opinion. It's a fact.
In terms of the best or the order you should watch them in?
The best, which debatably is the order.
Should you do like 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, or?
So there is time hopping in Fast and Furious, actually.
Oh, I was making a joke. That's it. Really?
Yeah, there is. And so that does matter. But the only thing I'm not looking forward to about the next one is that they do bring Han back, who is a fan favorite. And I think it is pure fan service.
Are they really?
But anyway.
Wow.
Anyway.
Are you excited for the magnets that apparently play a huge role in Fast 9?
No, that is not what I look forward to about the Fast franchise. I look forward to the wrecking of cars. And yeah, they do very little in CG. They use like 700 cars per movie. It's wild.
Well, that's what was so weird about this challenge to me, because like it was neither Fast nor Furious. Like to me, the car, having literally never seen the movie, I still think the car from last week's episode was more similar to something I would get for Spawn and for Fast and Furious than like, we're going to go on this truck that's too big to move like that fast. And magnets are critical in the film, so we will have magnetic puzzle pieces.
Yeah, and I feel like I could almost guarantee they never did a puzzle on Fast and the Furious.
Definitely not.
Well, a lot of people on the challenge didn't do a puzzle either, so that checks out. Any standout moments for you, Rourke, from this challenge, besides just that you got to hear about Fast and the Furious?
I mean, this is my second Vanderpump Rules comparison. If you've seen this week's episode where Jax is just like on one, Nelson, what is happening for you?
That's perfect, because first we get Anissa with an iconic Nelson burn of just like pausing and being like, that's my thoughts on Nelson. we have a question from Michael Duncan, who says, is Nelson, and it's multiple choice, A, just dumb, B, trying to get TV time, or C, just itching to solve that puzzle and got frustrated?
I think it's more dumb. I think he truly believed that Anissa was trying to throw it. I don't think he's like that good of an actor to like keep it going that much. I think he was genuinely pissed that he wanted to win and he thought Anissa was throwing it for whatever reason, because obviously like, there is no logical sense for her to throw it. Like, I don't think even a little bit of logical. I don't think there's any sense. So I think Nelson just truly believes his own insanity.
Yeah, I don't know. The same way I don't know with Jax. And because I was looking for an explanation that involved drugs. But the timeline is too long for Jax. It covers many days, and that just doesn't line up. But with Nelson, I don't know. Is there Adderall? I don't know. What do they have in that bunker?
That's what's interesting is because I was like, is Nelson drunk? Like, because usually something like this breaks out on the challenge, and it's like, oh, alcohol is the enemy. Like, we understand. Like, it blew up. This was like sober as a gopher on the challenge. So I don't know. I mean, I am more sort of on Brian's camp here, where it's like, this is kind of textbook Nelson. He's always sort of like a step behind the strategic game. Like when he threw Kayla under the bus during the voting, and that was just like made absolutely no sense to do at that moment. You know, like he gets it a little, and he cares so much. Like he really wants to win. I don't know that he's fully grasped yet that Anissa's main motivation in the new rules version of this game would be to be in the tribunal and then maybe throw herself in if she wants. Like, there's nothing to be gained, just to be clear,
no, literally
by
nothing.
Her throwing it. And so he wants to win so bad, and he can't quite put the pieces together, pun intended, that it actually he's completely wrong.
No, I totally agree. I was largely kidding about the illicit substance use story.
Josh Green wants to know, Nelson's self-awareness, how screwed is he going forward? Do you think this is going to have like a long-term impact on his game?
I don't think that this moment will. I think the faculties that he's dealing with will impact him, yes. In a negative way.
Brian, you worried about your boy?
Yeah, I just don't know where his friends are. I don't think he really has anyone in the house really, you know, watching his back for whatever interest he may want in a certain moment. Like, I think Corey is very ready to distance himself from Nelson the second he truly has a chance. So I think Nelson could see himself in a couple of minutes, because I think he can win some of them, but I think I could see him being kind of like the next Jay if he were to get a Red Skull and just people wanting to just keep going against him.
And then let's talk about the other potentially false throwing accusation between Jordan and Bailey. So Jordan gets to go twice, which should be a huge advantage for Bailey. One, because it's Jordan, and two, because it's Jordan who has already completed the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any, do you see Bailey's side of the Jordan through the challenge argument, at least more than Nelson's, or was she totally crazy too?
At least here there's a little merit, theoretically. To if Jordan wanted to throw it again, I don't think he did, because I don't think Jordan is really that type of person at his core that he could ever throw something like that and make himself look bad. So I don't think he threw it, but at least there is some semblance of a motive there if you wanted to get to it.
Do you buy it, Rourke?
I personally don't. It was not the same puzzle on both sides, which is why they had him do the other side. And she forgot her piece. He physically can't get over there.
Checks out. I mean, case
over.
I also thought her, besides everything Rourke's saying, like, I also thought the logic, while at least a stronger thread than Nelson's, you know, like if Nelson's one of those like cobwebs, fake cobwebs from Halloween, I don't know, Bailey's dental floss a little stronger. That was terrible. It still doesn't really make sense. Why would Jordan want to help Nani get a skull? Like, Jordan only wants to help Tori get a skull.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the object of the goal was wrong.
For both of them, totally.
Yeah. I just didn't like, maybe I was just like, it sort of had a bad taste in my mouth. I didn't like how she was phrasing it as this was supposed to be my win, like as if she was like owed it because he was her partner going second. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, he was going to do it for her or something. I just didn't like it.
Yeah, it was very entitled. That, like, how are you losing this for me? Like, this was you, right? You had to win this for me. Yeah, that was not the best look.
Well, it's also crazy because, like, we've been talking week after week how, like, Bailey and Swaggy are smartly staying out of eliminations. They both had opportunities to be sent in and chose not to take them, stayed under the radar, made friends in the house, making names for themselves, and maybe they won't make the final, but like they'll come back. Why suddenly has the plan changed for Bailey?
Very unclear.
Yeah, it's a good, maybe Wes got in their head about like, all right, now you gotta do it, now you gotta do it. I could see that happening. I don't know. Maybe you're just getting bored, you want to do something. That could play a part too.
I guess. I mean, like, yeah, Jenna and Kayla are definitely like mentally weakened from what's going on in the house, but I still wouldn't, you know, bet that they couldn't beat me. Like, honestly, everyone was saying like, oh, Jenna will be messed up. I could also see Jenna and Kayla being like, well, if I'm ruining my life at home, I better make this count. Like, I would be more motivated if I were Jenna. Like, if I'm going to choose to stay here and jeopardize my relationship, I might as well do well.
Jenna's like a sneaky freak. Jenna's like a sneaky freak in the eliminations. She often wins.
She the freakiest freak?
The sneakiest freak.
God. I feel like she often, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like she's not a layup.
We have a third extremely suspicious strategic move here in this challenge. So it ends up being the case that Jordan and Nani win, and they pick their third. And it seems like it has to have been discussed because it's said without any hesitation. Jordan seems on board. They pick Jenna. Now, I understand that for Nani. What is Jordan's plan here, Brian?
I don't know. Maybe Big T. Maybe if he wants Tori to go in, he feels that Big T would be a better matchup for Tori to go up against, would be my only thought.
But he said, Jordan says, I don't trust the house to vote Jenna in. So Jenna will throw herself in and Tori will get the skull. But it's like, and maybe I misunderstood him, but like, why would Jenna nominate herself to go in against Tori, unless again the house understands something that we don't, which is Jenna's like, I'm not gonna quit, but put me in and I'll like go in against anyone and do my best, and if I go home, I go home.
Yeah. It's, I don't know, because we don't really know Jenna's motivation. Like, if Jenna wants to go home, but maybe like there's a financial impact if her quitting that she wants to like lose with Grace, like that helps her financially for some reason. Maybe there's something, yeah, we don't really know motivations.
I think Nani posits that about Jenna, where she says, like, Jenna will want to go in and she'll view the outcome as a sign that if she wins, it's a sign she's supposed to stay. And if it's she goes home, it's a sign she's supposed to work on it with Zach.
But if you send Jenna in against Tori, I mean, I think I'm getting more convinced now that this sort of makes sense from Jordan if they know that Jenna definitely is going to put herself in regardless of who they put up. But like, why is the house going to vote for Tori? Like, will Tori get the votes?
Great question. Can I just tell you my sort of like production spidey senses?
Please.
That this is feeling to me all the confessionals that Tori had about Jenna's mindset, about this being a good time, Jordan's this sort of like almost like, I don't watch Big Brother, but I think the term is like backdoor voting. Like, it is giving me vibes of the San Juan del Sur, like over-engineered throw that guy ends up getting eliminated on. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think
it's a Christie brother. And but
basically,
the goal is
you think that it's setting up that Tori is so desperate to go in. That she's going to lose and get eliminated.
Exactly. Yeah, I think this is a drastically over-engineered plan, and it's going to collapse on them.
I hope we don't see it, but it would be interesting to see. Like, I'd like to see it, but then I'm like sad that Tori would be gone.
Mm-hmm. I know. I like her.
I also don't think the challenge editor is as clever. I feel like people try to read a lot of that stuff into it, and like it sounds cool, and I agree with you. Like, in normal shows, I do think people do that. I just think the challenge editors, they just kind of like put things together. I don't think they really have like long-term planning with some of their stuff.
I totally disagree with that. That is so crazy. That is such a crazy thing to say after how many seasons of the show you've been watching.
I don't think they set things up well. A lot of things just kind of pop up. They don't set like a lot of people's arcs.
That's
that
how
well.
Good they are is that you think they're just they're like cutting down so much footage to make these craft these storylines together that you watch think, and are like, oh, they just maybe, were like filming and they put it on TV.
Maybe within one episode, not across season. Like this has been I don't think they set like a lot of characters up for like a season long arc. Like I think maybe within an episode things could happen, but not over a seat like a full season.
This would be one episode. Like what are you talking about?
This is Tori the whole season. Like this is every episode. This isn't like one time Tori's like, I want to go in. Tori's been wanting to go in, and then it could backfire at any time. Like Tori's been preaching to go in the whole season.
But she had confessionals this episode about like Jenna being that there was something in the back of Jenna's mind that she her head was not in the game, that even if she's present, she isn't present mentally. Like I really think that this episode was specifically about Jenna's competitive spirit. And those confessionals in combination with sort of Jordan's meta plan of not putting Tori in the tribunal and setting this whole thing up. I don't know. Take it for what you will. I've got another one for you, Brian, and you can shoot it down.
Wait, really quick before you throw that out, I just want to say, to sort of back up what Rook is saying, it's exactly what happened with Rogan, except that Rogan did do what he intended to do. We had a 2-season arc of Rogan saying, give me Jay, give me Jay, give me Jay. He got Jay, and he beat Jay, as he said the episode prior that he was going to do. So, like, again, I things don't just happen on this show, Brian. It's like a lot of people work on this show.
It's just like a
bunch of like drunk interns like randomly splicing footage
together.
This is
like one of the most popular reality shows in the history of reality television.
But people try to like read it's like the winners edits and these type of edits, and I just don't think that's like I just don't see that as consistently in this show as I do other shows. That's how I see it.
Well, that's totally different than things just happen and they don't do arcs and they don't develop people. Like I don't think that's the same thing that you, just because it's not like an obvious like winner at the end. I think a lot of shows don't do that. I think that's like a very strong Survivor thing that is annoying. So I agree with you that there's not, and we've discussed that, so I agree with you, but I don't think they're just like, I think that's intentional.
I agree with that. I'm not arguing for a winner's edit, to be clear.
What's the other thing?
The other thing is a bananas confessional where he said, he reiterated the rules at the top of the episode and said, the only way you can run TJ's final is by earning a red cross. And right now, that's by winning in purgatory. What do you make of that?
He said right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now we did get, I mean, we, Brian and I have been talking about this all season, 5 episodes, 6 episodes, whatever, of like,
I know that's why I'm asking.
So that it checks out. I mean, that's interesting. I think it's also the case that they're definitely going to speculate, depending on when that confessional was filmed, right? Like, they're definitely mm-hmm. speculating
yes.
that that's going to be different. We saw, a like, next later in the season on The Challenge this week, and, like, TJ says, like, I told you, you've wasted so much time. So there's something there. There's something there. I think that's a really good catch, Rourke. I still have no idea. I still think it's unlikely that they're going to ship 10 people out at the end of the episode, like, we told you, bye.
Yeah, I don't know. That's something I've gone back. I feel like I've gone back and forth on that each time about what I think is going to happen. I don't know. I'm hoping that is what they do. I'm hoping that they reach a point where only 7 or 8 people have skulls and so many other people just the clock ran out. I hope they do that. I hope they live up to that. But I don't know. I don't know.
All right. We have a question. Tyler Morton Akaribo says, yes, Rourke. Got a lot of love that Rourke is going to be on, obviously.
Oh my God, thanks.
With Jenna now in the tribunal, who is the most likely target for the losers group?
Well, I think we've sort of already hashed out my conspiracy theory. but in terms of if the goal is to, if Jenna has an asserted goal of going in and then that goal is to respect her wishes about who to go against, I the obvious option is Big T, I think. But that's if my vision doesn't play out.
Yeah, this will definitely be a more interesting week than the male eliminations where it's just been Jay being put up and some behemoth wanting to go in against him.
Yeah, it'll even be more interesting when the guys yet when the guys come around. But yeah, I don't know. Other than Tori or Big T, I don't know who else would go in, because no one else seems to be vying for it.
All right, let's get to the 5-star reviews, because I got to put my arm down. I'm getting sore now, an hour in. So we got a bunch of 5-star reviews this week. We really appreciate them. Honestly, I read these in quarantine, and it just like really makes my day. So thank you to Ali Cass, Emery, Haley Ray, underscore W. Love a good, a strong, not Haley Strong, but a strong Haley with an underscore. Do love Haley Strong. I botched that reference. Whatever, she'll forgive me. Sven MCA. Thank you guys so much. If you want, and oh, sorry, and Eroke 13. If you like this episode, not of the show potentially, but of the podcast, you can let us know at robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes.
Drinking game. We had three Casey speaking, not narration, but she also had the classic comeback from a commercial, give a narration conventional, which is now her thing. One decision motivated by fear of significant other for Jenna. I guess maybe Kayla too. I don't know. One time someone knew a song for Jewel. And three bears in love. Was that eight? Eight. There you go.
Rourke, I know you're coming to correct with the drinking game rule.
Oh, God.
Maybe not.
Yeah. Let's do when D talks about her bond with Rogan.
Oh, God. Do we have to look out for that?
Because I think a drink would be healing to us all after those moments.
Please drink responsibly if you aren't. I will do every time Nelson does something to tank his game, pour one out for Corey into your mouth.
How about anytime someone outside the challenge world is mentioned? To go off the Mikey P and now the Nicole, anyone else pops up.
So now does outside the season or like Zach doesn't count?
Like, no, like non-challenge people.
Okay. Okay. Good. I like it. Good ones. I do have a casuals corner, but unfortunately I am holding my phone to my ear and cannot read it. So I will get to it next week. Thank you to Nicole, our casual correspondent. She killed me with her takes. A lot, you know, because for especially this episode, it's like, has that, is this real? Like with Zach, like, is this, you know, imagine being a new viewer and this is the first introduction to the guy that Jenna's been talking about all season. Oof.
She got the real Zach.
We have some tweets. Thank you to our digital communications manager, Megan Elizabeth. And do we thank Kyle Picard? I don't know. Thanks, Kyle.
Thanks, Kyle.
I'm tired. Okay. Bailey and Jordan both tweeted like their declarations of friendship to each other, and each of the other ones retweeted it. So good for them for having healing energy that we need right now. Bailey says, Jordan and I are friends. We clashed a lot in the beginning because I thought he was condescending. I fought back. He had no choice but to respect me, and he did. So we're good now. Which is a very strange way to say that you're friends with someone, but okay. Jordan said, I don't throw anything, period. No surprise there. That's all yeah. That really needs to be said about that. Bay and I are friends and have nothing but love for each other. This crap happens when we're all under constant stress and we chalk it up to the game. All love for my girl. Nice.
All right. Fine.
Bailey also tweeted, he literally said, quote, follow my instructions and we will win. Said, go all the way up. I was trying to listen. I was made to look like I was incompetent. Nani did amazing. So did Jordan. We had so much time for the puzzle, even with me, quote, missing a piece, just frustrated.
This is random, but during that challenge, when Josh and Tori knocked over a piece immediately, why weren't they just DQ'd? Why did they have to go through the whole process? Did the producers just not see that they knocked over a piece?
That's a great question. Because
they
like,
couldn't do the puzzle. Stopped. They couldn't do the puzzle, so why did they do it?
Maybe they missed it. I mean, it was so funny to watch them play it out. Maybe because they didn't notice, they just let them keep going. They probably, you're right. An air horn should have been blown and they should have been DQ'd.
Yeah, like the last time, like when they missed the numbers on that other puzzle, they just stopped.
Although I guess you can't stop the truck, right? The other side's still going, so.
Yeah, maybe there's no way to like get in touch with them or something. I don't know.
There was a knowledge requirement and Josh didn't know.
All right, we got it. Are you done with finals yet?
Nope.
Okay. Oh my God, wait, this is during your finals?
Yeah, but it's pass fail.
Okay, sorry. I like normally wouldn't have, honestly, because I don't know what day it is, I like totally forgot that that was a thing. And Michigan.
Totally fine. Mandatory credit, no credit. I've never been less pressed.
We're 90 minutes in now. There's no going back.
Yeah, guys, is it too late to say I don't want to do the podcast tonight?
Swaggy said, FYI, Melissa Reeves is pregnant doing this. Queen. There you go.
I don't support that.
Well, that's interesting, right? Because somebody did ask the question in the Facebook group, like, what's going on with MTV's medical, like, with Jay, and the fact that they, like, let Mel be pregnant. But, like, she did an interview with Challenge Mania. I haven't listened to it. Not, no shade. I just, everyone knows I don't listen to other Challenge podcasts while we're podcasting. But she did an interview, so I'm sure she explains, and it's like a Mother's Day interview. So if people want the full story, I don't have it. But it's out there. I don't want it to come to them like pregnancy testing everyone before they go on the show either.
That's what Survivor does. The only pregnancy test I've ever taken was before Survivor.
Interesting. Well, then I guess
I feel like they probably should. Like, they probably should do it. They probably should get that. Like, a full blood panel and stuff, all that stuff.
I genuinely don't mean this comedically because it would be terrible. But, like, imagine that. Imagine her doing Hall Brawl.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I have to imagine she was extremely early on in her pregnancy and to the fact that she, like, didn't know. But you're right. I guess they should have done a test regardless. I don't know. Just, like, something feels, like, squeaky about that. But I guess you're right. For the sake of her health and the child's health, they should be testing you.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Whatever. Test them. I know. I'm assuming it was part of a blood test, Rourke, your pregnancy test.
No, I just, hotel before we flew out, I just peed.
Was literally just going to laugh and be like, I'm imagining you like submitting a pee on a stick to like Jeff in a plastic bag that says Rourke.
It's just a fucking stick.
But like,
oh my God.
I can't believe that's how they have you do it.
Yeah.
All right. That's good. The more you know. Jenna says, the extremely negative things you were all saying stoops you lower than what you're all preaching about. By Twitter, wave emoji. I mean, okay.
Okay, there's a Twitter quit. I like it.
Here's a fun thing from Mark Long. DC, I'm working overtime this week. Here is a dating. People who don't know Mark Long. Mark Long was like a legend of the Challenge 1,000 years ago, and he's like very desperate to get back on the show. That's probably extreme disrespect for someone who doesn't deserve disrespect.
But you know, it's also not inaccurate.
I think that's like the story for the people who are new to the Challenge.
Yeah.
He's very important to the franchise's history, but it's like, it's almost like Boston Rob, right? It's like he was important to the. Or I'm trying to think of someone like early on in Survivor who was like important, and then if they just like went away, and then
it'll be like if Richard Hatch never played again, I guess, right? Sort of like that. It'll be like if Richard Hatch never played again, and he was like banging on the drum to try to come back.
Honestly, it's kind of like Richard Hatch, actually. Pretty much nails it. Mark Long, here's a dating tip, everyone. .. Don't ask for your significant other's social media passwords. Believe in the now. Live in the moment, not the past. Don't fish for ways to ruin a great thing. Trust the process and embrace the future. # Godfather.
I'm Googling, is Mark Long in a relationship?
I feel like you guys were too in your feels to even respond. Yeah, there's some...
And that's how irrelevant he is. The first result is Mark Harmon reveals the secret of being happily married.
People are going to come for us. I mean, Mark Long is great, but...
No, he's great. He's great. But yeah, I mean, he hasn't been on the show in a decade, I don't think.
That's it. Rourke, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
I
was anxious about this episode, and it turned out to be very fun.
No pass fail here. Not the episode. You got an A+.
The episode sucked. This was fun.
Mark is divorced and recently single. So he can't talk.
Do we think at any point relatively soon the formula resets or are we now like in this never ending state for the rest of the season?
Gotta go. No, I mean,
oh God, I can't contemplate that future.
I think they really dug their heels in with how much more they have to show for next week.
Because we're not even close. Like elimination is going to happen until like 45 minutes into the next week.
Imagine how much more inconsequential the tribunal is going to feel when it's in the first third of the episode. Can't wait.
Well,
see
this
you next
has been
week.
Fun. So glad.
You can subscribe.
So this is your job, not mine.
Subscribe to all this funness at robsthewebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You can follow me at Cohen with a C, Brian _. You can follow you, Allie.
To be clear, this is not my job. At Lash Tweets.
Where can they follow you?
It's a public service.
So not Twitter, but anywhere else.
I'm on Instagram at REVL12.
But one thing I wanted to plug, and I didn't have time to say the highlights this week, but maybe next week, but you should just watch it. There's a really interesting video on YouTube. It's called MTV's Virtual Challenge Cameo Cares. If you just Google like the challenge Cameo Cares, TJ, Jenna, Wes, and Bananas did an interview that I thought was definitely worth watching. So there you go.
It's adorable how much TJ like promotes his cameo on Twitter. So sweet.
Who won the Ringer bracket?
Let's not talk about it. All right. Bye, everyone.
CT1. We'll be back next week. Until then, have a good one.